This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Wednesday. The four candidates running for Basalt Town Council weighed in on affordability issues during a forum Monday night. As Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports, those included the struggle to find childcare.
Benjamin Firestein has served on Basalt's Planning and Zoning Board for the past 3 years. Now he wants to join the town council. He said his wife stopped working to raise their two kids because childcare would have been too expensive.
She was a mental health provider here in the Valley as well. So you're taking one incredible resource to fund another resource that's limited.
Another candidate, Greg Shaffrin, was born and raised in the Roaring Fork Valley. He works with Mountain Rescue Aspen and got personally involved with the town when it was looking for a company to operate the Stotts Mill childcare facility.
I was on the phone calling providers being like, hey, I've got a place. Would you take it over? Would you bring childcare here? I thought it was so important to have that in the community.
Elise Hoddle said she fought to make that development a daycare center during her first term from 2020 to 2024. Incumbent counselor Angela Anderson suggested using new tax revenue to subsidize infant care or incentivize in-home daycare. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
The four candidates are competing for three open seats on the Basalt Town Council. Election day is Tuesday, April 7th. The Picken County Board of County Commissioners has appointed Ted Mahone to serve as the District 2 County Commissioner. He'll fill the vacant seat created after Commissioner Kelly McNicholas Curry resigned last month, and he'll serve the remainder of the District 2 term, which is through January 12th, 2027. A 31-year resident of Picken County, Mahone currently serves on the City of Aspen Open Space and Trails Board. He was selected unanimously. Both the Commissioner District 1 and District 2 seats are up for election in November, along with Sheriff, Assessor, and Clerk and Recorder. Qualified candidates can pick up a packet from the Picken County Clerk and Recorder's office and must file within 10 days of publicly declaring their intention to run. The number of older adults in Picken County has more than doubled in the past decade. Aspen Public Radio's Sarah Torrey reports the county is exploring new ways to meet their needs.
Picken County Senior Services first introduced the Aging Well Initiative in 2014. It's a blueprint to make the county a more inclusive and supportive community for aging adults. The updated plan was presented to commissioners yesterday. It includes a number of goals, like offering senior-friendly transportation, ensuring sidewalks are safe, and building a senior center. But Commissioner Greg Poshman was concerned that the plan had too many goals.
I'm having trouble imagining how we can even approach something that's as broad and ambitious as this.
He recommended the plan prioritize the most realistic initiatives. Commissioners will hear a follow-up presentation on the updated aging plan in the coming weeks before approving a letter of support. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Sarah Torrey.
In statewide news, a judge says that members of Congress can make unannounced oversight visits to ICE facilities. CPR's Caitlin Kim reports.
Democratic Representatives Joe Neguse and Jason Crow were two of the 13 members challenging Homeland Security's attempt to impose an advance notice policy for the visits. Neguse says the ruling blocking Secretary Kristi Noem's policy is a victory, while Crow says the law is clear. Members have the right to conduct oversight. This was the second time Noem tried to make members give advance notice of visits. An earlier version of the policy was also blocked in December. In Washington, D.C., I'm Caitlin Kim, CPR News.
Wolves appear to be moving farther east in the state than they have since reintroduction. CPR's Dan Boyce reports that a couple of lone wolves spent some time in the southern Front Range Mountains.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife says it's likely two individuals roaming widely across the state looking for a mate. GPS collar data shows them moving into Front Range counties from Douglas down to Huerfano. CPW wolf monitoring and data collector Brenna Cassidy says she has not heard of sightings near populated areas.
Wolves are quite nervous around people generally. It's very, very rare to have a wolf be close to a town like that.
The state's four wolf packs, meanwhile, have established territories in the Central Mountains. Dan Boyce, CPR News.
State lawmakers are working on a bill that they say would create much-needed funding for Colorado's emergency medical services. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Lucas Brady Woods reports they also say it would save the state money.
Ambulance services in Colorado are reimbursed only when they transport a patient to an emergency room. Under the bill, they would also be reimbursed for treating someone on site without transporting them. Representative Katie Stewart is sponsoring the bill and is a former EMT.
This will not stop anyone from being transported to an ER if that is what they want or need. Instead, this bill will empower EMS and patients to make the smartest decisions about their care.
The bill would also require EMS reimbursement when patients are taken to behavioral health clinics or if telehealth services are used during an emergency call. The rule change is expected to save Colorado millions of dollars a year in healthcare spending, largely because it would cut down on costly hospital visits.
That was Lucas Brady Woods for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Public health officials have confirmed another case of measles at a Colorado high school. Here's CPR health reporter John Daly.
They are also warning about potential exposures in Broomfield and Westminster. The state and Adams County Health Department confirmed the case in an Adams County resident. The case is the second at Broomfield High School. Neither of the students had received the measles, mumps, and rubella, or MMR, vaccine. Students and staff who may need to take additional health precautions will be contacted directly by local public health officials and school administrators. The state has now recorded 3 measles cases this year after recording 36 last year, which was the most the state had seen in years. Measles is a highly contagious disease, but preventable with the MMR vaccine. I'm John Daly, CPR News.
Xcel Energy posted a massive profit last year. CPR's Ishan Takor has more.
Xcel's Colorado subsidiary earned $678 million in profit in 2025. That came despite the company taking a nearly $300 million hit to pay out claims related to the Marshall Fire. Part of the company's profit comes from higher customer bills to pay for things like new power or gas lines. The earnings come as Xcel is also forecasting huge, potentially double-digit increases in customer bills in the next 5 years. That's because the company expects to spend billions of dollars to keep up with spiking demand for electricity. Xcel's parent company, based in Minnesota, also reported more than $2 billion in earnings last year. I'm Ishan Takor, CPR News.
And in regional news, some business leaders say the construction industry should do more to ensure that work sites are equipped to accommodate women. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez reports, states in our region have a growing number of women in the industry.
Women make up 14% of construction workers, according to the latest data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. But one recent industry report notes that 67% of women in construction jobs say PPE, or personal protective equipment, like helmets, don't fit well. That's one of the topics discussed at the Women in Construction Conference in Las Vegas this week. Victoria Carreon is with the Nevada Division of Industrial Relations. She says workers face a higher risk when safety equipment doesn't fit properly.
So if you fall and your safety harness is not fitting you adequately, you don't want to be slipping out of it. These are real hazards on the worksite that really have to be addressed, and that's why PPE is really important to be fitting correctly.
Within the construction industry in our region, Colorado, Arizona, and Nevada have some of the highest percentage of women construction workers. Utah and New Mexico have some of the lowest. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Yvette Fernandez.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.